Praise God. Amen. So tonight we're glad to be here and welcome all of you precious saints of God. And we have been studying Psalms 142. If you will just look, put it up right there, 142. And we've gone through the whole Psalms, but in verse 7. Now look at verse 7 in Psalms. Is it up there?
Yes.
What does it say? Go to verse 4. Go to verse 4. Psalms 142, verse 4. I look on my right hand
and beheld,
but there was no man that would know me.
Refuge
fail me.
No man
care for my soul. And we've explained all of that.
Yes.
We found out that God cares. All souls belong to the Lord. Remember in Ezekiel 18?
Yes.
All souls belong to the Lord. Your soul and my soul. You're not your own. But we were bought with a price. And no one cared for her soul beside Jesus. Jesus cares for our soul. And that's why He gave his life for us.
Amen.
Amen. And that our soul is that part that came from God. See, the body, God took the dust of the earth and make a man. But then notice the scripture says, and God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So your soul came from God. So Ezekiel 18 says, it belongs to God. All souls are mine. The souls, even that little baby right there, belongs. The soul of that baby belongs to Jesus, belongs to God. See, God gave the parents the responsibility to bring that child in the world and raise it, but it's really that child belonged to the Lord. We all belong to Jesus. We are not our own. So in Psalms, verse 7 says, he's praying to the Lord, making intercession, supplication, bring my soul out of prison. Now the soul, there's no natural prison that can keep the soul in, okay? But our soul can become prisoners of Satan. Satan can hold us in bondage in the prison house. But it says here, it says, bring my soul out of prison. Why? Why? Look at it. Why? That I may praise thy name. So if you're in bondage and your soul is in bondage, you will never praise the Lord. That's why people would like to serve God, but they even try to turn over a new leaf. And they make many promises, but they break them. Because it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You cannot do it without Jesus. See, so you surrendered. You surrendered to the Lord. Now, he's asking for God to bring his soul out of prison. And all of us, we became prisoners of the devil because of the fall. When Adam fell in the garden, we fell because he was our representative head. The first man, Adam. 1 Corinthians 15 says, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. But the last one, that's Jesus Christ, he's the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. So Christ is a life-giving spirit. And when that life-giving spirit enter into our soul, you as he quickened, Ephesians 2 said, who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, when you died in trespasses and sin, your soul was in prison. We were dead. The body was alive, but the soul was dead in trespasses and sin. So when Christ came, died on the cross, shed his blood, he quickens us. And Ephesians 2 says, you are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Right? In Ephesians chapter 2, where in times past you walk, look at it, you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince. That's when we were in prison. We walk according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit. Notice there, it's a spirit. It's a spirit. The spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. We were one time children of disobedience. And we were because, and as long as we were, we had a spirit. Okay? We had a different spirit that was not the spirit of God. And it goes on, among whom also we all had our conversation. That word conversation is the lifestyle. That's the way we live, like everybody else, like the world. In times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature, notice the nature that we had. We have a nature of sin. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Now, our Christ came now to override that nature, to crucify that nature. That nature that we were born with has to be sanctified. It has to be crucified. It has to be mortified. Amen? And then we take on the nature of Christ. We take on the image of Jesus Christ. See, he quickens us out of the first Adam. The word quicken, he raised us up out of that first Adam and puts us into the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ. And he says, among whom also we all had our lifestyle. That's the way we live. Conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Anything that come in your mind, you like you were out of control. Okay? What your flesh want and your mind, you do it. Now it says that and were by nature. Now that's powerful. That nature we were born with. I was born in sin, shaping iniquity. And were by nature the children of wrath. Who are the children of wrath? See, the devil's children. See, God's children are not children of wrath. They're children of mercy. We were by nature the children of wrath. Aren't you glad for Jesus? I said, aren't you glad for the cross? Because that's what we were. We were children of wrath, even as others. But look at this next verse now. Look at everybody. Look at the board right there. Look at the camera. Look at there and say, but who? But we were, remember, we were children of wrath until God came. But God. Oh, I wish you could say that. But God, who is rich in mercy. Do you see the turning around now? Who is rich in mercy. Why did he do it? Why did he bring our soul out of prison? For his great love. How great is his love? The Bible said, greater love than this hath no man, that a man lay down his life for his friend. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love. How great is his love? When we were lost in sin, we had no hope. Jesus, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, came our way. When this stranger went down from Jerusalem, was journeying, and he fell among thieves, And the good Samaritan came. Jesus is that good Samaritan. When everybody walk on the other side and couldn't help you, refuge failed me. No one cared. The good Samaritan came. Jesus came. And I like this. When you read this word, but God, you feel like shouting. It said everything, don't it? Here you're going through troubles and trials and no help and everything is against you. And then God shows up. It doesn't matter what time it is. God shows up. But God. Oh, you ought to say it with feelings. But God who is rich. Hallelujah. You think you're sitting down and said, oh, I am poor because you're just looking at what you got in the Hurtley Bank, money. But you're rich. Amen. You're rich. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. You, yes. Wherewith he loved us. That word, you know what I mean? That brings out and express feelings. It also express a state of the condition that we were in when he found us. God, the rich God, but the poor you and I, where he found us. Heathen, when we were dead. In sins. You don't get no lower than that. Do you get that? You don't get any lower. Do you understand what Paul is trying to say to us? Huh? He shows us how high God is and how low we were. And yet God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, the majesty and I, holy, righteous. Even when we were dead. Somebody said, oh, I don't think there's hope for me. Yes, there is. Even when we were dead in sins, what did he do? Had quickened us. Wait now. Had quickened us. How did he do it? He couldn't do any greater than that. He did it when he quickened Christ. He quickened you and I also. You see, he didn't just quicken Christ and then after a while he quickened you. He did it all at one time. And so that made us heirs and co-heirs and joint heirs and sons of God. And make him our father also. Don't you feel like shouting? Heathen. Heathen when you're at your low estate. You were down in corruption, the pit of corruption, the mire and the clay. God came for you. God found you. God lift you up. Even when we were dead. That's trespasses and sins. In the Adamic sin, the Adamic transgression. We're born that way. He quickened us together with Christ. That word quickens means he bring you alive. So the scripture said if the same spirit, he quickened Christ with the power of the Holy Ghost. And the scripture said if the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, he that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal body by his spirit. Now when he quickened your mortal body, what does he do? He's given you immortality. From mortal to immortality. From corruption to incorruption. I like this when I read it every time. Even when we were dead in sin, make you want to love God more. and quicken us together with Christ. By grace, the unmerited favor of God, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Somebody said, I did it by my free will. You are dead. A dead man cannot perform his own resurrection. You're dead in trespasses and sin. We couldn't come to God. We could not come to God. We did not know God. We did not want God. It was God that reached down his hands for us. In mercy. We deserve sin and judgment. But he sent mercy and grace. But God. When the devil comes in, you throw that in his face. But God. God turns it around for you. One time you were lost in sin, but tonight, by the grace of God, you're alive. I'm alive. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but tonight we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. By grace you are saved through faith and not of yourself. It's not of works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy. He saves us. How? By the washing. That's what he does for you. He washes you and makes you whole. They used to sing a song years ago, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing blood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's not a sin that Jesus Christ cannot erase. Not a sin. And then he removes it as far as the east is from the west. There's not a prisoner that Jesus cannot set free. And all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. And the prisoners will be set free. He came to open prison door to set the prisoners free. The next verse says, look what he did. When he quickens us, he raised us up. Together. All right, raise us up out of where? Out of where? Out of the first Adam. He raised us up out of it. In other words, he translates us from the power of darkness, from the power of Satan, to the power of God. From darkness to light. Amen. Only Jesus Christ could set us free from the power of the devil. He opened prison doors. He had raised us up together and made us hallelujah. Somebody shout right there. And made us sit. Notice a place of rest. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. Look at that. Don't miss this. Verse 7. That. Everybody say that. That. You see that? You see that word? You see that word? Ages, underline that. What does that mean? That means you think that, okay, you come into church for a few years and that's it. No. There's eons, ages, world to come, you still have church. Don't get tired now. Well, I'm tired to go to church. Well, you're asking for another place. And it won't be so nice. They told me it's pretty hot down there. I'd rather take my chance with church. I was glad. You know why? Because I don't have to worry about the other place. I don't know what it is, how hot it is. But they told me that they don't have any no winter down there. No air condition down there. That in the ages, notice that the word ages mean forever, endless. Endless. ages, eons, worlds to come. He, look how long he's going to, somebody say, oh, well, I asked the Lord for a car and he didn't give it to me. Come on, let me tell you something. How you get discouraged? A million years from now, he'll be supplying your needs. This church age where you come to church and spend a few years, it's not enough for him to show his mercy and his love towards you. So it's eons, worlds to come, ages. That in the ages to come, he, God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. That's a long time. In other words, that's eternity forever. As long as you can think. A million years will be just like yesterday. That in the ages to come, I know it blows your mind, but eternity is forever. And what he's saying now, that he raised us up, made us sit together in heavenly places, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding greatness, exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ. Verse 8, the last verse says, how are you saved? That's how he brings you out of prison. Grace, the law of grace, the law of kindness, grace, unmerited favor of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Well, can't you accept the gift of God? Don't you want the gift of God? Well, why do you worry and get upset and discouraged? Psalmist said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? If you ever begin to study and meditate on the word of God, you would love God. You would love God. You get up and tell him, I love you every day. You would love God. You would see the loving kindness of God. Listen. You don't have to ask, Lord, do you love me? No. He loves you with an everlasting love. You are supposed to tell him, Lord, I love you. Every day. And even in the night. You wake up in the night, don't get grumpy. And sometimes you can't sleep, don't worry. Just tell him you love him and talk to him and you'll see how refreshed you wake up in the morning. The name of the Lord is better than a cup of coffee. Amen. So, he came to set the prisoners free. And Psalms 142 verse 7 said, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise you, that I may praise thy name. You know what's going to happen when you begin to praise the name of the Lord? What does it say about the name of the Lord? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run it into it and are saved. Then it also says, the name of the Lord is as ointment poured forth. That's the holy anointing. You know what the anointing is? When you go into church and you smell that anointing, it's Christ revealing his name. Christ revealing himself. His name is as ointment poured forth. And the scripture said, he's the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright, the morning star. Hallelujah. You love Jesus. You throw yourself at him. Give him yourself. Because it's of the Savior of thy good ointment, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love you. That's the virgin church. Amen. You got a church that's not tangled up with religious move and all kind of stuff. All right. When you begin to clean house, when I mean your heart, your mind, clean it out before God, you'll find out how you love the Lord. But as long as, you know, we clutter a lot of stuff in it, Jesus can't even find place to step over those, all that stuff we got in our minds. And you wonder, Lord, where are you? You got to throw these things out. You have to throw them out.
Amen.
Don't ask, Lord, clean me out. No, you get before your face.
Hallelujah.
And confess to the Lord. Amen. Tell him about it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You have to put the garbage out of your minds. Amen. We have to do that.
Amen.
Search me, O Lord.
Yes.
And he showed you and you repent of it.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord will show you. And you know, you and I know a lot. Because we were there when we were doing it. Or we were saying those things or acting that way. Or talking bad about your brothers and your sister or the church. Or whatever. So what do? You get before God. And if you don't know, I guarantee you. When you ask God to show you all your sins, you better be prepared, because if he ever unload everything before you. So sometimes he show you one at a time. Woe is me. And sometimes we look at others and we see faults and sin in others. But you ask God to take away the cross eye from you. And let your eyes become single. You can only see yourself. And you begin to repent before God and say, Lord, search me and show me myself. And you will see what God will do for you. Amen?
Yes.
All right. I think I'm going to close right there. Because we've had a great night. Did you enjoy tonight?
Amen.
Amen.